So one of the points I'm going to get to a little later is this whole concept of what a business organization really is. What a business organization really is, in my point of view, it's a society. It's a vehicle to pool capital, talent, skills, interest, brain power, wealth. It's really not an entity to maximize profits or to make money. People don't really go into business to quote unquote make money. It's really more for self-actualization, and the profits come afterward. Once you find how to properly trade your novelty or what makes you unique or what differentiates you. What made Def Jam work was they knew how to position themselves in a galaxy that had such planets like Wu-Tang, like Bad Boy, like Death Row. And they were able to be a generalist and provide each of those kind of sounds, but also with a rapid release date. Def Jam would always put out something. You have a high level of volume, and eventually they took over through market share. Another note on Lior's development. Russell Simmons says, he says, when Andre left Rush to start Uptown in 1986, Lior moved up and did a little bit of everything at Rush. He road managed, he booked groups, he babysat. He became the glue that held the management company together and moved on to guide Def Jam when I got involved in other ventures. He eventually became my chief business partner and one of my greatest, closest friends. So part of the problem why certain businesses don't grow is because no one is willing to subordinate their ego so that another person could maybe be the front person. Someone could be the in-house, the inside person. Another individual can be the outside person. There would be no President Barack Obama if there was no, I don't want to say David Axelrod, but I'll give you, if there was no Reggie, the body man. The body man is very important. Obama has Reggie, the body man. He has Rahm Emanuel, the chief of staff, the coordinator, I would call him, the muscle man as well. And he has Valerie Jarrett, the advisor. She plays her role. She is like the freelance emissary, back door, don't want nobody to know. But if you see Valerie Jarrett at your door, you know that that's Ambassador Obama. She is the ambassador. She'll meet with corporations. She'll meet back door with world leader. You'll see. Just follow Valerie Jarrett's schedule. She's the Real Talk Express emissary. The body man, Reggie, he knows all the secrets. Does everything from probably texting Obama's messages to people that he wants to keep in touch with, carrying his bags, keeping mints on him. Damn it, how many of y'all are ready to carry a mint for somebody? These are business principles. Business 101 I'm talking right now. Later for all the performances, I thought that Ashanti and Ja Rule were weak. I thought Meth and Mary were good, but it was too short. I don't know what that was with Warren G and Trey Songz. Trey Songz, he looked the part, but there's only one Nate D-O-double-G. I thought it was atrocious that Public Enemy performed so early. That was disrespectful. EPMD throwing them in at the end with a medley like that. What was that? And was this, what's the brother's name? Wale from out here in DC? Is this like promo? Every award show is promo for, is it Wale? Am I saying it right? I think the brother's from Africa. I love that. But man, I never seen somebody get so much shine on other people's programs. I mean, that's good marketing. I'm not going to really hate. But man, Wale gets more time than EPMD. But I don't want to talk about the show. I don't want to deal with business right now. I'm going to do a review. I'm going to get into Michael Moore's movie. If you saw it, let me know. I'm going to give a review on it. Michael Moore, yes, I do put him. And I did this in 2004, and some superficial ideologues caught an attitude with me because I spoke of the cultural power and influence of Michael Moore, Howard Stern, and Minister Farrakhan. Some people that like and love the minister were offended that I would mention Michael Moore and Howard Stern in the same article or under the same concept as Minister Farrakhan. These people don't read. I call them superficial ideologues. Some people that may like Michael Moore, Howard Stern would trip out because Minister Farrakhan's name is there. People like that, I could care less about. You're not going to build anything with people like that who can't see universal principles, who don't know the science. the commonality between the minister Howard Stern and Michael Moore is not in what they do in terms of the morality of it or the ethics of it or the ideology of it. It's in terms of power, the ability to move masses and influence people from your own being through your use of cultural sensibility, through science, color, and art, through the spirit. We gotta grow. Some people probably pissed off that I am promoting Lior Cohen because he's not black, because he's Israeli. I have a lot to grow on. We'll talk a little bit later about ethnic wealth building. Black people and others have a lot to learn from other groups. One of the reasons why we are not developing the way that we could economically is because we are more locked in an allegiance to ideologies that have nothing to do with our condition, quote-unquote capitalism and socialism, than we are in following traditional ways of building wealth and financing entrepreneurs. Individuals back the group, but groups also back the individual. That's the secret of what the Jamaicans, the Africans, the Chinese, the Japanese, and the Jewish community have done. Send in your comments. Go tell somebody I'm talking business, hour number one. The hottest show in the diaspora. Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program. You can send in a comment whether you agree or disagree. I love it all. We'll be right back. Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program, October 14, 2009. A lot of new listeners and viewers. I want to welcome you all. Thank you so much. Especially the new people. You all are the most, pardon me, especially the young new people. You are the most important folk in the room. And my senior citizens. My father called me. My dad called me to let me know that there was an article on entrepreneurship for seniors. And I have not mentioned this in my book. So I've been slipping. We had to put that up at blackelectorate.com. Entrepreneurship becoming an option for seniors. Let me give you all another lesson that we can point to in terms of learning how to differentiate yourself and mistakes in business. And this is for yourself too. You are your own. You have an image, a brand, and a reputation that you have to uphold. But I had to put the picture of Krispy Kreme donuts up there. If you I gotta talk about this company, Krispy Kreme. It's an article. It's called The Tragedy of Krispy Kreme. The Tragedy of Krispy Kreme. It says here, there's a truism among investors that you should invest in what you know, understand, and like. It's a common sense strategy. You spot something new, it's special, it's useful or innovative, it's cool and affordable. Let me buy some of that. The response to that can be summed up in just two words, Krispy Kreme. Krispy Kreme had been a popular donut chain in the South since 1937, but remained unknown to the rest of us until about 1996. That's when the first Krispy Kreme popped up in New York City on West 23rd Street. Believe it or not, the town went nuts. Donuts are a major food group in New York, where people eat many of their meals while walking. These fabulously new donuts were favorably reviewed by local newspapers and lines formed when the hot donut sign was lit. The two young men who owned the franchise were extolled as modern entrepreneurs. I lived one block away from the store and thought that Krispy Kremes were a much better thing than sliced bread. I was soon as knowledgeable about the product as any potential investor could be. Krispy Kreme went public in 2000. Luckily by then I was living out of the country and didn't hear about it. After all, what could go wrong? Just about everything. Krispy Kreme's stock hit a high of $49 in 2003. Then it started on a long downward spiral, losing about 90% of its value. The company had problems that had nothing to do with its donut recipe. It overextended and took on crushing debt. There were allegations of management misconduct. Some franchisees were bankrupt and competition was fierce in the cheap eats category. Most people started consuming healthy foods. In short, Krispy Kreme. I can hardly read this. In short, Krispy Kreme managed to lose money selling something that is both cheap and delicious. Now the company is under new management and seems to be on a bit of a roll. Since February, when its share price hovered around $1, it has climbed steadily, topping $4 a share before settling at $3.49 as of October 8, 2009. It has fewer and smaller stores, but is parking them in strategic locations around the world. Is there hope for Krispy Kreme? Apparently, the answer is maybe. We'll get back to that. Krispy Kreme, Dunkin' Donuts, Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts, McDonald's. We've talked about this, the positioning, how to differentiate yourself. It was a mistake for them to go public. I'll let some folks who may follow the markets right now, maybe they want to weigh in. I want to hit on something that I caught. Sometimes you need to watch the financial channels to see people talk about products that you are influencing. I had an example. Anyone heard about this Beats by Dre product? Fast Money, the trading show for investors on CNBC, talking about the influence and the hope that Hewlett Packard, HP, has in this Beats line of PC and headphones by Dr. Dre. Listen up.
Welcome back to Fast Money. We are live at the NASDAQ market site. Just this afternoon, HP announcing it would release a new series of notebook PCs in collaboration with Beats Electronics. For a look inside this Dow member, let's go to Jim Goldman, who joins us with a special guest. Jim.
Yeah, Melissa, good evening to you. Happy Friday. Yeah, indeed, a big day for HP, the Beats laptop computer. It's a new notebook from HP, and this is going to generate a lot of buzz, to say the least, a music-oriented entertainment laptop, if you will. And joining us now live from that event in Santa Monica, California, is Todd Bradley. He's the Executive Vice President of HP's Personal Systems Group. Todd, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks, Jim. It's great to be here.
So explain to me, what is this Beats laptop computer? What does it do, and why is it such a big deal for HP?
Well, it's a continuation of our focus on making computing personal. You know, as we collaborate with various people, be the, you know, the movie industry to create great video, now the music industry to create great audio, this notebook is the driver to that. It's got the finest music reproduction in the world. We've worked closely with Jimmy Ivey and the people at Interscope Universal Music to create that product that is the best audio output in the marketplace. So we're thrilled to be here, thrilled to get it done. You know, if you dial all the way back, Jim, Hewlett-Packard was founded in 1937 on a music oscillator. So, you know, it's kind of a continuation of our roots, if you will.
One of the things that I call whacktivism, I've coined this phrase whacktivism, is you'll see a lot of hip-hop activists, a lot of conscious folks who mean well, but they don't understand economics, and they definitely don't understand the stock market. One of the main ways that companies could have been affected, it's not just by going after the advertisers, it's by affecting the stock price. So one of the best things that you could do is buy stock in a company. If you want to influence something, become an owner in it. I mean, very rarely do you hear activists use this tactic as it comes to hip-hop. But think of all the wealth that could have been created and the influence that could have been exerted, rather than just protesting out front of somebody's corporate office. If you had owned some stock or rallied the people to buy some shares, start attending shareholder meetings, start talking to the press, start talking to investor relations. Hewlett-Packard now, stock price on the rise, partly because of a product that Dr. Dre is associated with.
Well, it certainly features a fetching design, no question about it. We were just running how much it cost there at around $2,300. First of all, how certain are you that consumers are going to buy it in an economy where netbooks seem to be all the rage? And, you know, how big a seller do you think this is going to be?
Well, we have the broadest range of products in the marketplace, from the, you know, the entry-level netbooks now up to, I'll hold it up if I can, up to the high-end Beats HP notebook. And really, this is just a further enhancement, a further continuation of execution around our strategy of making computing personal. I think clearly, you know, from the entry-level netbook to the products we've created with Verizon that provide connectivity to now some of the audio, great audio products we've produced, that broad range of products is what's most important to us. So I think our ability to create great value across price points, across our product portfolio is what's compelling to consumers.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the consumer, because we are entering into the all-important holiday shopping season. What's your sense right now?
The consumer is you all. When you see Dr. Dre out there pushing Dr. Pepper product, when you see Dr. Dre now becoming more visible using, because Dre don't talk to nobody. You can tell he doesn't like to do interviews, but now he's out there shilling for this HP Envy series of notebooks as well as the headphones. If you want to get to somebody, offer them some money. One of the things that you could do, you may be surprised. You may only have $200, $500 or whatever. You want somebody to do something for you. Just offer them a little bit of money. Stop asking for favors all the time. Everything's a damn favor. Favor, favor, favor. I warned you all the five reasons to not take favors over doing business. In any event, Dr. Dre, Jimmy Iovine. Let me give you a little more of this. Matter of fact, let me give you a little more of this, and then we'll move over to actually hear Dre and Jimmy Iovine talk about the product.
I mean, we keep hearing that the PC industry is starting to see a little bit of a momentum pick up. The Windows 7 upgrade is on the horizon. Is that going to be the big panacea that some people think? And what's your sense of just what the expectations are as far as holiday shopping and the consumer when it comes to HP's computers?
Well, we are... we're cautiously optimistic about the holiday season. From what we've seen, again, the breadth of our product portfolio, frankly, the great product quality we offer, the innovation in design and in solution, are all going to be drivers for us. Clearly, Windows 7, historically, Windows launches have been drivers, and this is a very solid product from Microsoft.
Okay, now here's Dre and Jimmy Iovine speaking about this briefly. Then I want to give you all the ultimate example of how someone in hip-hop influenced the stock market.
Beats is an idea. It's more than just a headphone. It's more than a speaker. In order to get something to sound great, the source has to be great, what it's played through has to be really good, and then the exit, which are your speakers or your headphone, has to sound really good. So there's the sound chain that exists that right now is getting degraded more and more every day, and over the last 6 or 7 years has really, really damaged the quality, the impact, and the emotion of music. If music is emotion, it's only logical that if it sounded right, the emotion would be better. Our journey, what we're trying to do, is to get all sources better. We want to get to the computers and make them sound better, because over the years, computer companies are not building these laptops for sound. If we start selling 320 kilobit MP3s and get the computers to sound right, and then the earbuds and the headphones and the desktop speakers to sound right, we have a real shot of getting this in front of the audience, which I know will really, really dig this. This is what Beats by Dre is about. Beats wants to help fix the sound chain. Sound is the heartbeat of music. Like, there's lyrics, there's music, but without sound, and Dre is the heartbeat of sound. He set the standard for many, many, many people in sound. And Dre, you should tell him how you feel when you're making a record, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if I spend a year in the studio working hard, late nights and what have you, and I put all this time into tweaking it, making sure it sounds right.
This is Dr. Dre promoting his product, shaking the stock market, affecting Hewlett-Packard's stock price.
I mean, my main concern is for you to hear it the way it should sound, the way I meant for you to hear it, you know what I mean? And also, not even just, you know, my music. I want to be able to hear it from my favorite artist the way I would like, they would like for me to hear it, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I know what you're saying, Dre. You got to watch the video to see how Dre appears when he's saying these things. Let me put the picture of the man up who affected Wall Street more than any other, and I documented it. I don't want to go too far into it. Put the hater up on the screen, Star and Buckwild. Let me read something I wrote in 2003. What I want to make clear is that when you had Vivendi buying Universal, and you have Terra Firma, a private equity firm, buying Warner Music Label, and you see Jay-Z doing deals with Live Nation and Ticketmaster, you know, there's more than what your experience as a consumer. There's more going on than that. I wrote this 2003. Is the status of a hip-hop DJ affecting Wall Street? My man Davey D posted this. Said here about a month ago while watching CNBC in the morning, another promo for watching financial news, I was impressed to hear the network's top reporter, Maria Bartiromo, the so-called money honey of the network, speak of earnings expectations. That's the hater on the screen. Star and Star and Buck Wild. Yeah, I wrote this in 2003. The so-called money honey of CNBC's. She was speaking of earnings expectations for MS Communications, a radio, television, and magazine company that owns arguably the most influential hip-hop-oriented radio station in the United States. At that time, it was home of Star and Buck Wild, controversial but highly rated tandem that had been second only to Howard Stern in the mornings, and actually they beat them. I'm not going to go any further. I'll let you all look up that article so you can do the knowledge yourself. You know how much power you have to single-handedly be affecting the stock price of a publicly traded company? That's real power there. I broke down how MS stock price moved in accordance with the uncertain status of this one individual. That's power, not making a hot video that got a bunch of critics applauding. That's not power. Well, that is power, but it's not the power I'm talking about. Need a whole new definition of power. Later for ideology and running your mouth with rhetoric. Can you build anything with what's coming out of your mouth? I said mouth with an F. This is what's required. For 100 years, we've been arguing over what capitalism and socialism is, calling people names, petty bourgeois black nationalists on one side, dirty backpackers, proletariats. We got to move past this and start building. You don't build with rhetorical language past a certain point. Rhetoric has its place. It's the 14th anniversary of the Million Man March. I'm going to talk about what's going on in Memphis, what's planned. Time to rebuild the wasted cities. Let me spook you out with this music. We're headed into hour number two. Go tell somebody. I think I'm supposed to talk about Michael Moore next. I don't know. Check the hour by hour show review on our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
Yeah, so we don't do shout-outs, but we do acknowledge people from time to time. I want to acknowledge someone by the name of Cedric Muhammad, who I spoke to last night.
Yeah, man.
He's become a dear friend. A man of substance and intellectual. Let me give you some of his websites. And many of you longtime Star and Buckwild listeners, you know this man's pedigree very well. BlackCoffeeChannel.com. I repeat, BlackCoffeeChannel.com is where you can go. He's doing a very, very politically conscious radio show at blackcoffeechannel.com and also blackelectorate.com is a website that we've spoken about from time to time. Again, blackelectorate.com.
Cedric Muhammad. Cedric Muhammad. Cedric Muhammad.
Don't go making no more your moves. Trying to do. Don't find nobody dead. Don't be copying no attitude. Wait to do.
That tomato brother, big fat.
bother me, cause I'm a scholar with a dollar, you can plainly see.
You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
Muhammad.